John 20:19-22. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then Isaiah 6:8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'"
One very important fact I forgot to mention about Steve is that he's a Manchester City fan, so please, please continue to pray for him.
I'm not going to stop smiling for a little while, those of you who know football. It was a good night last night. Let's just pray as we come to listen to God's word and meditate on it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your written word points us to the living word. And we ask that we will be brought to Jesus. We will hear what you want to say to us. And we will have soft and responsive hearts so that our lives more and more might live to glorify you. In your name, amen. When William Carey suggested in the late 18th century that we ought to go and take the good news of Jesus out to the ends of the earth, he was met with a strong rebuke from a senior minister whom he deeply respected, who said this: "Sit down, young man. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do so without consulting you and me." The senior minister, Dr. John C. Ryland, went on to denounce Carey as, and I quote, "a miserable enthusiast." Baptists haven't always got it right. If you know the story, fortunately Carey didn't sit down, or at least not for long, and he continued to argue that God was using, or wanted to use us, to take the good news of Jesus, to take the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he gave his life to this endeavour, and he himself went as a missionary to India. He had this amazing ability to with languages, and he was able to translate the Bible. In fact, not only did he translate the Bible into many languages, but he also actually formed the languages and did the written version of those languages. He's now widely known in Protestant circles as the father of modern missions. The Lord asked Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me." William Carey, all those years ago, responded, "Here I am, send me." I wonder how we respond today. John, in his gospel, tells us that Jesus, on the evening of his resurrection, meets with his disciples and he breathes on them. And he says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Let me make three observations this morning about being sent. The first one is this, that Jesus wants to commission all of us. He wants to send each one of us out into the world with the good news of his kingdom. This isn't just for a select few. As we've already mentioned, I am a Man City fan. I actually hold a season ticket and I go with my son up to Manchester about 20 times a year. It's a 300-mile round trip. I do it purely for the sake of my son, of course, and it's purely altruistic. When you sit and watch a football game, what happens? It's quite amusing. You've got generally 22 players on the pitch who are doing their best. They're doing everything they can. They're working tirelessly, running their socks off, exhausted, desperately in need of rest. And then you have 54,000 in the stand who have some really good ideas of what they should be doing, desperately in need of exercise. That is not how the church should be. It shouldn't be that simply there's a few people doing the work and everyone else is sitting round and telling them how they should be doing it. Actually, we are all to be involved in this work. God's kingdom is about all of us engaging in this mission of taking the news of Jesus to everyone around us. Here I am, send me. A few years ago, I accompanied an Iranian asylum seeker to his appeals hearing. He'd been rejected, as I haven't caught up with the current state, but basically, the government policy a few years ago was someone applies for asylum, you reject them, and then it goes to appeal, and then it's contended at that point. And we went to this hearing in Cardiff. What was really interesting was that the barrister for the Home Office understood what the duty of Christians was far more better than quite a few Christians that I know. Because the barrister argued in court, he said, well, I understand if you have become a Christian that Christianity is a proselytizing religion and you will need to share your faith. And if you go back to Iran and we send you back, then you will need to share your faith and you will end up in trouble and you will have a problem. And then he questioned whether he had truly become a Christian. That was his argument. But he got it. That actually, if we're Christians, then we have a duty to share our faith. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's to share what we found with those around us. We are all commissioned to share the good news of God's kingdom with those around us. Now, for most of us, being sent, unlike William Carey, is not going to be about crossing oceans and going to the other side of the world. For some of us, that might be. But it is actually about being sent right where we are. For those of us who live with family or who have family who aren't Christians, we are sent to them as witnesses to Jesus, to share our faith with our family. For those of us who work, we are sent to our workplaces as ambassadors, as representatives of Jesus into those places, sharing as best we can what we know of the Lord. In the places where we live and we spend our time, we are sent as Jesus' disciples to shine his light among our communities. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we need to consider ourselves sent by him into these places. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let me then say that I think many of us feel inadequate to this task and calling. When it comes to witnessing and sharing our faith, many Christians feel unequipped. We don't feel worthy of this. We don't feel that we're very good at it. We don't feel we've got much to offer. This is where John chapter 20 is vitally important. So I've got a question for you. See, it says in John 20, 21, Jesus said, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And the question is this, how was Jesus sent by the Father? What does that mean, just as the Father has sent me? Just have a chat with the people near you, just for a second, and just have a think through. In what way was Jesus sent by the Father? And what does that tell us then about how we're to be sent? So how was Jesus sent by the Father? Not one right answer here. I'm not setting you up to try and get the right answer. I think there's lots of ways we could answer this. And I think actually this is a great question to think about. What should we be as the church? Because if we think about how Jesus was, then actually that should inform how we should be. But anyone like to offer an answer? And as I say, there are lots of things we could share as a right answer. Okay, so being baptised and being sent out. And what happened at the baptism?
The
dove came down. Yeah, the Spirit came in the form of a dove. Yeah, okay, well, let's hold on to that as well. I think that's quite key. Anything else that we'd like to offer? As I say, lots of answers.
He was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah. So with a dove, or the appearance of a dove, yeah.
And right at the beginning, he was... John said, as a baby in a town amongst common folk.
Yeah, yeah, this word incarnation, that God came to us as a normal person and lived among people. And yeah, and you can't do mission by kind of at a distance. You can't kind of drop things on people. It's actually about being with people, living with people. I think we learn a lot from that. Anything else? You might have been thinking quite differently. There's different ways of answering this. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, you said the scriptures.
One question I've often thought is how much... Well, I used to teach maths. How good was Jesus at maths? How much did he learn? And in terms of when actually it came to understanding the scriptures, that Jesus learned them. He sat under the teaching of others. It's a really interesting question as to how much was received and how much, if we believe... Yeah, sorry, I'm going to go down all sorts of avenues here. Yeah. But if we believe that Jesus laid aside his deity, he came to us as a true human being and would have learned like we need to learn. Yeah. Anything else? Let me throw a few other ideas. Maybe we could say he came sacrificially. You know, that's what we should be as churches. We should be here laying down our lives for other people. Might say something about him coming humbly. He didn't sort of come on... Well, he did come strongly against the rulers and authorities. He spoke truth to power, didn't he? He challenged injustice, but actually... He was someone that everyone could relate to. He was on a level with people. There's lots of ways to answer this. I would say as well, there's certainly a bias in Scripture that he came to the marginalised and the oppressed. And when we think about what we do as churches, I think there's a particular calling there. The first couple of answers have picked up what the passage picks up here. Because what it says in the passage is, having said, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the passage itself here is answering the question by saying, he came in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit and he sends his disciples in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. A woman called Eileen Bradbury wrote this. She said, during the middle of a 5-year drought in Zimbabwe, I was in the garden trying to keep the remaining plants alive by pouring leftover dishwater on them when it began to rain. For days, we've been hiring a boy to haul buckets of water on our small plot to keep the green plants alive. It took him all day to get the bucket full and cover the half-acre plot. But in 5 minutes of heavy rain, the whole garden had been soaked. It would have taken thousands of hours, millions of buckets, and hundreds of people to do what God did in 5 minutes. That is the difference in whether we do something in our own strength or in the power of God's Spirit. I love that quote. See, it's never been God's intention simply to send us out on our own, in our own strength and our own ability. It's always been his intention that we go out in the enabling power and presence of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus came. Evangelist D.L. Moody was renowned for relying on the Holy Spirit. He was a... at the end of the 19th century. He was American, did ministry in Chicago. He came over to Britain a few times, was hugely influential. The people he influenced were significant. He had a campaign in England, and there was an elderly pastor who protested, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated and inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" To which a younger, wiser pastor said, "No, but the Spirit has a monopoly on him. That's such an important phrase. Actually, as Christians, we're called to go out and take the good news of Jesus, but we need to allow ourselves to be directed and guided and filled and empowered by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit hasn't been given to the church for 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Holy Spirit's been given for the church for 10:30 on a Monday and 10:30 on a Tuesday and 10:30 on a Wednesday. For everything that we do, we are to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, there's that command in Ephesians 5, verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. And the verb there is about go on being filled, keep on being filled. It's a continuous thing. We need to be reliant on God's Spirit. Galatians 5 says, keep in step with the Spirit. In the book of Acts, as if we look at who is actually leading the church? Who is making the decisions as you read the book of Acts? Was it Peter? Was it Paul? Was it James? Actually, at every point, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. They are being led by the Spirit in the early days of the church. And so if we feel inadequate to the calling, well, that's good. Because actually we are inadequate to the calling. We can't do it. But we need the Holy Spirit, and God has provided his Holy Spirit to enable us to take the good news of Jesus to the world around us. Let me then just say thirdly and finally, a note of caution. Just because God has called us and is calling us, and just because we have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean it will always be easy. So I said earlier that I did an internship with a church aged 21, and it was a really tough year. My idea of going into that year was that I would wake up each morning, I would be on this spiritual high, I would sort of glow and go through the day sailing through this ministry opportunity and this great thing over here, and it was anything but that. It was really hard work. In fact, I found it very, very draining. I think I saw ministry in its real terms. It was very helpful. And I was in the right place, I'm confident of that. I'd been called to this for the year, God's Holy Spirit was with me, and yet it was difficult. It often is. Just because God is calling us, just because we have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean it will be easy. Some of you might know a bit of the history of Orchard Baptist Church. I came 13 years ago. The week after I came, I moved into the house, literally 1 week later, I got told by the Baptist Union, because they were aware of this news, that a previous minister had been arrested in the States on child abuse offences. And we went through this period. There were people in the church whose children had been abused. There were people who were deeply affected by what had happened. It took 5 years for us to work through that process till actually, not that we're free of that, we still live with that history. But actually, we worked through that process. And yet I was where I believe God had called me to. And the Holy Spirit was with me in this ministry. But just because God calls us to something, just because we have the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean it is always easy. The passage that SJ read for us from Isaiah chapter 6. So Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And then if you read on, so this is Isaiah 6 verse 9. This is what God says to Isaiah. God said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And then I said, for how long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged. Until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. Isaiah's calling was actually to go and proclaim to the people what God wanted of them, knowing that the people were going to reject that and it would just reveal how hard their hearts were before God. It was a pretty tough calling. Commentator Oswald says, Isaiah's commission, as it is with all servants of God, is not to be successful in a merely human sense, but to be faithful. We are called not to be successful, but to be faithful. Some of us have been sent into difficult situations. Some of us have been sent to family members who show no interest in God, at this point. Some of us are sent to work colleagues, some of whom are hostile to our faith. Some of us are sent to friends and neighbours who, at best, are indifferent. But we are nevertheless sent, and we go in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we keep witnessing, we faithfully do what God has called us to do. Just because God is calling us, just because we have the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean it will be easy. We are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. Whom shall I send? Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." William Carey responds, "Here I am, send me." How do we respond? Let me just tell you a story, just in closing. I heard this from a man who gave his testimony in a church. It's about 6 or 7 years ago. He said that as a young man in his 20s, he was suicidal. He tried praying, and he tried going to churches, and he didn't find God's presence in those things. He even tried, he said, a mosque, but he felt God was nowhere to be found. In his despair, he made an ultimatum with God. He said, "God, if you are there, if you're real, I need to know two things. One, that you love me, and two, that you have a plan for my life." But he actually went further, and he put a date in his diary, and he said, "If I don't hear you by this day, I'm going to take my life." As the date neared, he ventured out one morning for a walk in a local park. A woman, who he didn't know but later found out was a nurse, was walking his way. As they met, she stopped and she said to him, "I hope you don't mind, but I just sense it. God wants you to know that he loves you and that he has a plan for your life." The very two things that he'd asked God to tell him. Instantly he knew God was there and his life was turned around. He got into a church. He said it took a bit of time to get into a church, but he got into a church. He became a Christian. He later on got married. He's had children, and he now works as a Christian evangelist. And he closes testimony by saying, "I'm so grateful to that woman that she was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and so is my wife, and so are my children." You know, God calls us day by day. We need to just be listening to those promptings of his Spirit. Sometimes we need to take risks like that. But actually, who knows what God will do with the things that we offer to him? And there are those moments, as we listen to him, as we are obedient, as we just keep on sharing the good news of Jesus with those around, where God will do something remarkable with what we offer. We need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to consider ourselves sent by him day in, day out. And we need to join with the Holy Spirit to help others know who he is. Can we respond today as Isaiah did, as William Carey did, and as that woman did? "Here I am, send me."